people coming from the...
No, I think that's it.
Press club?
Yeah, I think this... Paul, I just came in as the last one.
Welcome to the late show.
Late show, yes. Yeah. This is the early show. All right, gentlemen. Mr. Charles always had a long day. We'll get started.
Can you hear me okay? I can still talk. I'll summarize the last 9 or 10 hours on the shift that I just came from. Things have been awfully quiet on this particular shift. I think the same thing was true on the previous one. Crewmen have been alternating sleeping for a couple of hours at a stretch, at least between Commander Borman and the LMP. The CMP has been asleep for, I think it's several hours now. Everything's going well. Spacecraft continues to operate like a Cadillac. The network tracking still coming in, showing us with a very, very small mid-course maneuver. In fact, as I left the control center, trajectory people were looking at something like somewhere around a half a foot a second required for that last mid-course maneuver. Now, they'll continue to track this thing for several more hours, and we'll decide whether or not to actually make the maneuver at entry interface minus 2 hours. The point being, they may make one, they may not. Depends on what the final number is. All this is indicative that that we have a good, strong solution and that the things are in good shape from a trajectory point of view. Again, the spacecraft is in excellent condition. Everything's functioning normally. I must sound like a broken record. I think that's what I've said every time I've come over here so far on this flight. It's been a beautiful vehicle. It's been, a tremendous performance by our tracking network. I think the thing that I have not said very often, or at least I haven't emphasized it, and I think you're all aware of it, is the performance of the three crewmen aboard the spacecraft. I think it's been tremendous, too. They've done a great job. They've gotten tired, but I think they've done a tremendous job in performing this mission. What we've got left to do now is to continue to track. We'll go over the checklist time and time again prior to entry. We'll run a few checks prior to entry interface, and everything should clock off for a landing in the mid-Pacific area in the morning. I think that's about it in summarizing the shift. And again, it's been very quiet, and that's a good way for them to be. So if we could start with questions, I'll try to answer them.
Is there any way to equate a foot per second burn or to translate it into miles on the ground track or movement?
No, not really. The best... I can kind of equate it to what this mid-course is to do is to not change the landing point. It's to maintain corridor control in terms of the flight path angle. And what they're looking at now in terms of error in the targeted flight path angle is something in a hundredths of a degree or a little more. So it's very, very small. At this point, you can't very effectively change the landing point.
What will be the determining factor as to whether they make the mid-course? I mean, how much?
Just the magnitude of it. I think if it's if they continue to track it and it stays at a half a foot a second, I would doubt that they would make it because you're down in the noise level then.
What is the within what degree of accuracy can you make corrections using RCS?
Well, we can actually make the maneuver itself to tenths, you know, with his onboard computer and by him what we call nulling residuals. We've seen him make the maneuvers and null the residuals to a tenth of a foot per second.
As I understand it, you will from here get the exact trajectory on the computers in the module, right? You will beam all the instructions to the capsule?
Yes, we
at what
compute.
Will you do this?
Pardon?
At what time point will you do
well,
this?
Well, we've already given them a preliminary maneuver pad, as we call it. We gave them that several hours ago, and it was something over a foot per second. Now, since we've continued to track a number of hours since that point, as I say, the maneuver has gone down. And if we decide to do it, we will update that pad. That's based on ground calculations. If we decide not to, of course, we'll just say no maneuver.
Could you run down just what exactly is going to happen for the rest of the flight? Do you have it there, or what major events they're going to do?
Yes, of course, it'll be by the flight plan. Essentially, we've got eat periods and rest periods down until we get to about EI, or entry interface, minus about 3.5 hours. Now, at that point, we would do the final update for this mid-course maneuver if it's required, including updating the navigation state on the spacecraft and the maneuver pad load that I refer to that he enters into the computer. He'll align the platform. Excuse me. He'll go through a few ECS checks, RCS checks, this sort of thing. All of this is in preparation for this mid-course if it has to be made. From that point, once we have made the mid-course or gone by without having to make it, it becomes just the entry checklist itself, that is, preparations for the entry, EMS checks, command module, RCS checks, and that sort of thing.
And the second question was, are you surprised? You indicated that everything has gone so perfectly. Are you surprised that everything has gone so perfectly?
No, really I'm not. I'm, of course, very pleased that it has, but after the Apollo 7 flight, with the way that spacecraft performed, I personally had a great deal of confidence before we started this flight in terms of the spacecraft. Now, I've always had confidence that we could do what we thought we could do with the tracking situation and the from that standpoint. I think the one thing that did surprise me was that the communications and our ability to manage the communication systems was as good as it was. I expected us to make more mistakes in terms of procedures and that sort of thing, with being the first time that we had the whole network up. And I think they've done a terrific job in handling the procedures and this sort of thing. And we've actually had very little problems with this sort of thing, and I think that's evidenced by the excellent communications that we had throughout the mission. In fact, Colonel Borman, I believe, made a statement today commenting on the communications even in lunar orbit.
Maybe, excuse me, maybe Doug is prepared with a list of significant times of various events coming up from the mid-course on.
I think we've we covered those in the briefing after the previous shift, and I've got some figures. I think you had some questions on a couple of additional ones. I can get with you afterward if you like and go over those.
In Apollo 7, there was some concern where the astronauts were advised to wear their spacesuits down because of the foot grasp, which would hold their legs from flying around. What specific modification was made to the couches for Apollo 8 that they do not need to wear these the spacesuit with the boots?
You know, you've got me. I don't know whether the mod was to the couch itself or to some sort of a restraint. I do know there was a corrective action taken so that we could, if we choose, come in without the suits, without any problem.
I have a question, but I think I can add something to that. I spoke to the man from Weber Couches, and he told us that on the constant wear garment slipper, there's now a latch similar to the one on the spacesuit boot, which clips right into the same gizmo on the foot pan of the couch. Mm-hmm. My question is, I've seen a red line velocity for the spacecraft, maximum entry velocity, somewhere around 36,323 feet per second. And your entry is now predicted for about 36,221. Is that cutting it a mite too close?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, your 36,323 is actually not a spacecraft constraint. That is a red line situation that we established in planning the flight, in that we would try not to exceed that from the standpoint of computational situation on the ground. However, and this was early in the planning, subsequent to that, we made out much better than we expected in terms of being able to check out the programs and check cases for greater velocity. And so, actually, if we had to do it, we could exceed that velocity. In terms of the spacecraft, we can come in quite a bit higher than that. In fact, I would suspect that we could handle as high as 37.5 without significant problem. Could I add one thing? As I recall, 501, let me think a minute, but it seems to me we came in on that one at 36.5 or close to it.
Getting back to the mid-course, if you did decide to do it, and if indeed it was 0.5 feet per second, can you give me a rough cut on what the duration of the burn would be?
Yes, about 2 seconds, I think.
Thank you.
That's approximate, too.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've got some additional times here that might help you. I don't know exactly.
I'm within about 9 or 10 seconds of you.
Well, that's close enough for civil service.
Which one is?
Let me ask you a nice hypothetical question. If you decide to do the burn and say it's 0.6.
Should I work for the minister from here?
Take his.
It seems that you may be taking a risk, and I question whether it's a necessary risk. If it's only to correct the angle, and you could get away with it without doing it, is it really necessary to take the chance of having a stuck thruster louse things up for you? Is that something that you consider when you think about whether or not you do such a small burn?
Well, we don't really worry about a stuck thruster. It's really down so small that actually it's kind of hard to hurt yourself now, because what you're trying to correct is this flight band thing. And down this point close to entry interface, it's kind of hard to hurt yourself. We're okay whether we do it or not, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And if we did it and we missed it by a couple of tenths of a foot a second, it wouldn't hurt us.
You're pretty close now to 6.2 degrees.
Pretty close to about 6.5.
6.5. Maybe my numbers are wrong.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe this is a...
Don't say that. No, I've seen a lot of things say 6.2 is the nominal. You can go plus or minus one either way. Is it 6.5 plus or minus?
6.5 plus or minus.
You have figures here for 0.05 Gs and 0.2 Gs. You don't have any for max Gs.
No,
when,
I don't.
When approximately does that occur in the course of the sequence?
Yeah, that.
My times are a little bit different than theirs, but they're very close within a few seconds. 146, 47, 37. There's the first one. And then the second one's 146, 52, 15.
I think you'll arrange it once they commit to whether they're going to make the mid course or not. I don't know if it might move these a little bit, but yeah. I think you ought to arrange to get, if that's the sort of information you'd like to have updated one last time, and send over here.
This is going to sound like a real picky question.
Doug, have you got the coordinates for the New York Times?
147.016 to me would come out at 951.06.
New York Times.
What kind of a launcher?
Let's put a splash, 8 degrees, 8 minutes north, 165,
yeah, that's right.
I don't know unless I got an error.
Splash point, yeah.
Okay.
Cochrane is 4 degrees 37 minutes north, 159 degrees 44 minutes.